It is my pleasure to present...
Good morning and welcome to the Carmichael Dave Show, starring Carmichael Dave, Jay Mars, and your phone calls on the Fire Wings hotline at 1-800-920-1140. Text in on the Jiffy Loop text line at 44-1140. Now, strap in and sit down. Here's Carmichael Dave.
Welcome back in. Hour number two. Big Friday show for you with football coming up. Dave Richard at 735. Write it down, 1-800-920-1140. That is your phone number to call in with your questions to soup up your fantasy team for Sunday. You can also text us at 916-339-1140. And log on to the YouTube chat, which seems pretty benign today.
Give it
about,
some time.
Yeah, they're what are they doing? Worst logos and uniforms in baseball.
Ever or currently?
I think it's historical. I never understood the love for the old Padres brown uniforms.
And the current ones. They're disgusting.
Yeah, the Padres have... I'm trying to think of it.
They've never had a cool uniform.
They've had some really bad... But there are some people that are devoted to those.
I did like the fatigues, those uniforms.
The fatigues are fine. Also, like the it's something that's cyclical. Like the remember the Astros popsicle uniforms?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, again,
those were so ugly they were cool.
That's the thing. Those are some of the worst uniforms I think in sports history. Yet they've come back and people like them now.
Worst
a lot of people do.
Those original Tampa Bay Devil Rays jerseys were so bad.
Yes, they were.
And the logo.
What about the baby blue? And I know you love baby blue. Not Phillies, but those. It wasn't even really baby blue. Those Braves, the Bob Horner Braves.
Oh, those are cool.
Well, you love baby blue.
Yeah. Did you like the baby blue Royals jerseys when they wore the baby blue pants with the jerseys? it's just classic George Brett. That's what I think of.
That's the thing, though. It's classic Royals.
My favorite hat, and they had a cool logo, too. I used to love the Expos.
The Expos, those white Expos uniforms especially.
Yeah, clean.
The home pinstripes were super, super clean, much like our Soundgarden segment is clean and ready for you, hey, right now.
Soundgarden. The cuts and clips that are catching our eye today. Soundgarden. It's time to go round the world with Soundgarden.
We had a good drive. Marsh is down there. Kyle called the package, and, you know, he's the head coach, so whatever he calls goes. It's just one of those things, you can only control what you can control. You know, I'm out there with my boys, making the best of it, having a good time, and, you know, at the end of the day, we're playing football, trying to get a win. So whatever it takes, but it is what it is, you know.
Hold on. I need you to re-rack that, and I need to count the Jimmy Garoppolo. That was a cliche filled sentence. Let me do a count here real quick, if you wouldn't mind.
He's not wrong. No. We had a good drive. Marsh is down there. Kyle called the package, and, you know, he's the head coach, so whatever he calls goes. Just one of those things, you can only control what you can control. You know, I'm out there with my boys, making the best of it, having a good time, and, you know, at the end of the day, we're playing football, trying to get a win, so whatever it takes, but it is what it is, you know.
Okay. So the first part of that wasn't really cliche filled, but it was in that cliche cadence where, you know, we're just talking like this, and you know, the good Lord willing, we can help. And then he reeled off at the end there. I want to say five. I'm just out here with my boys. We're just trying to have fun, win a ball game, and, you know, you can control what you control. But,
right.
And a lot of times you don't want to read stuff into things, and you don't want to put words in anyone's mouth. But my interpretation of that, Jay, is. Jimmy didn't like that call. Jimmy is frustrated with that call. Jimmy doesn't want any part of bringing the team all the way down the field only for Trey Lance to get the opportunity there and show up in the stats. And then ESPN First Take can do all kinds of think pieces with Kryons at the bottom or Kyron's at the bottom showing numbers this and numbers that. It sounds like he's frustrated just trying to play a good soldier and not doing it that great.
Yeah. Yes, 100%. You took every single word I had in my mouth, you just took it out. Congratulations. I interpreted it the exact same way. That did not sound like a guy who was happy with that call. But I have to ask, is this on Jimmy Garoppolo a little bit? And here's what I mean. You march him down. You've had to known for a while that Kyle was going to, you know, feature packages with Trey Lance.
Yes.
the team scored and you were a huge part of the drive.
Yeah.
Like, isn't it a little bit selfish to kind of take it from that perspective?
I think the argument's there, and I think in the big scheme of things, yes. But I also think in the world we live in, where a lot of narratives are pushed, not just throughout the media, but then a lot of people looking at pure numbers, you bought the car, you drove the car, you picked everybody up in the car, you got to the movie theater, you buy the popcorn, the soda, and the jujubes and raisinettes, and then you hand them off to your friend who Ubered there and goes in with everybody to watch the new Marvel movie while you wait in the car for the next drive, pun intended.
So I understand your logic there. Here's where I'm going to counter. How is this different if Jimmy took them 80 yards, first and one at the goal line, and the running back punches it in? Hasn't ran the ball the entire drive.
Because the running back isn't showing up on talk shows, and media isn't asking when the running back's going to take over the position.
Dude, that's not Trey Lance's fault. And it's just, you can't, you're never going to be able to control the media narrative. What it really comes down to is you took the team down. Yeah, Trey Lance is the guy who gets the touchdown, but who cares? The San Francisco 49ers put up 6 points in that moment. That's sure. What you should be concerned about.
None of it's Trey Lance's fault, but it is Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch's fault. And I don't blame them, by the way, but I'm saying from Jimmy Garoppolo's point of view, they're the ones that drafted this kid. They're sure. The ones that are saying openly he's the heir apparent. They're the ones that have really kind of treated Garoppolo in a strange way as the incumbent. I don't know. It's just this type of stuff. You don't need this type of stuff. I get it.
Can we agree that in private it is perfectly fine for Jimmy Garoppolo to feel this way, but maybe in public throw more support towards the staff and the team and the play call and be like, hey, look, we've ran this in practice. Yeah. This is by design. We know Trey's coming in for packages. We put 6 points up on the board. That's all that really matters. Like, isn't that what you want to hear in the media?
I don't want to be argumentative, and I know we got to move on. I'll give you this. As a 49er fan, I like the Trey Lance pick. As a 49er fan, I feel Trey Lance is the heir apparent. But Jimmy Garoppolo has been incredibly professional throughout the summer, throughout training camp, in some really rough situations. If this is as bad as it gets, where he isn't even sending mixed messages, we're interpreting mixed messages, I'm inclined to give Jimmy as much of a pass as I possibly can in deference to how professional he has been.
Okay. That's fine.
So I hope that
we'll agree to disagree.
There we go. All right, number two.
Soundgarden. Can Tom Brady play until 50 years old?
Wow. Seems to be a really hot question lately. Can Tom Brady play till 50?
You're 44, that's 6 more years.
I don't find it so difficult. And plus, in the Florida, it's kind of a retiree state, so I feel like I can play and then just glide into retirement. I think I can. I think it's a yes.
Glide. Good
notice.
Word. Good word.
Notice that the question was can and not will.
Yeah.
That's a key difference there. I don't know. Let's discuss this for 2 seconds. And I like this discussion because really neat angle that we've never really covered before in the Tom Brady discussion. How long will he play?
But to be fair, the number's always been 45. Like, can Tom Brady play till he's 45? I think we've seen Tom Brady will be playing next year at 45 years old. I'd be willing to bet that. 50? Eesh.
You know, I will
not
say,
impossible.
I will say this, and I will happily nauseate people listening, but I don't care because I love sports and I love sports history. Tom Brady gets his flowers time and time and time and time again. But to me, Tom Brady doesn't get enough flowers. I'll explain. He just came off his 7th Super Bowl victory in his, 9th appearance.
Mm-hmm.
Both far and away records. He is so rich, and I believe his, along with his wife's combined income and assets, I got to think they're well over $1 billion.
Oh, yeah.
He has a young family. He's been playing this game now, at least in the NFL, well over 20 years, and count college and high school. He's been playing this game his whole life, taking damage here, there, and everywhere. He's continuing to play football in large part because he loves the game. He doesn't need the money. He doesn't need the accolades. He could retire and do whatever he wants. What more could you want out of the greatest football player of all time?
Nothing. There's nothing more to ask of the guy. He's just doing it at this point to do it. And I'm not mad at it. And I don't mean it in the sense of just like, oh, there's just Tom Brady going out there for the sake of going out there. No. He has nothing to prove to anybody at all. But I think that's what is great about him. There's nothing to prove, but I'm still going to go out there and show you I'm the best every Sunday at 44 years old.
I will say it again. I've said it before. Tom Brady is the greatest and most, he's the most successful player in football, basketball, and baseball history.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
He's just awesome, and I'm here to appreciate him and give him his flowers. Number three.
We got to go.
Oh, okay. Well, then, number two, we'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice! Coming up next.
All right, three for Madness right now as we get ready for Dave Richard at the bottom of the hour. Greg Papa at 8:05. Let's look at last night's Giants versus the football team game. Let's talk about Hard Knocks and their big announcement yesterday. And we've got a lock and an upset for week two coming at you. We'll do all that right after this.
1, 2, 3. It's three for Madness time. Three for Madness. Three questions, three answers.
1, 2, 3. Woo!
It's three for Madness. Here's question one.
All righty. Coming up at 7:35, Dave Richard, CBS Sports. He will be here too. Sorry, I'm trying to adjust. I want to stand up during this segment. So, that's not going to work, Jay. I can't stand up.
I mean, you can. It's just going to look super awkward.
It'll look really silly. It's funny because we're on location here. There we go. That's a little bit better. And the lighting. I'm having trouble with the lighting. I wonder if I did that. You see less of me, but in the background you can see. What do you think, Jay? YouTube lighting? No lighting.
Go lighting, please. I want to see your handsome face.
You want to see more of my face?
Yeah.
We are down in Palm Desert. We will be back on Monday. I'm using third person when I say we, or is that second person? I don't know. You don't care. What you do care about is Dave Richard at the bottom of the hour, Greg Pop at 8:05, Peter's Picks at 8:30, where you have an opportunity to beat Peter and win yourself a couple of brand new United Wholesale Cornhole Boards. As my note says on the YouTube screen, I am hungry, but we power through with Three for Madness with Justin Marshall.
How surprised were you by how entertaining last night's Giants-Washington football team game was?
Here's the thing, dude. Styles make fights. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, I expected this. It's not that. It's that truly when you have a not great team like the football team of Washington, when you have a not great team like the Giants, their old rivals, NFC East, both teams absolutely positively need to have a win. You don't want to start out 0-2. And you're on Thursday Night Football. This is where a lot of people, they want to make a name for themselves. It's national. You're the only game on, and especially at this time of the year, you only four teams a week get that opportunity. Monday night, Sunday night, and Thursday night football. I wasn't. It was a very entertaining game, and honestly, I felt so bad for Dexter Lawrence being flagged for being offside.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even want to think about the messages he got on. So I hope he didn't look at any social media, and I hope he had his agent go in and erase everything and block everyone that sent him what I'm sure are terrible. Dexter Lawrence didn't lose that game for the Giants, but in that situation, it's not often where you have one single individual that you can tie into a direct responsibility for a game loss. And his offsides penalty, in effect, gave Washington a second chance to kick a field goal they missed. They won the game. I really spent most of last night feeling for him and his family.
Yeah, but if you're a Giants fan and you're blaming him for that, and
of course they are.
But you don't look at who dropped the pass to the end zone. Was it Galladay? Yeah.
Kenny Galladay, and he and Daniel Jones were arguing much yesterday.
Oh, they argued a lot, and that was on Galladay, by the way, on that drop. Come on, dude. Sure. And if you're going to look at Lawrence and just pile on him, okay, but you have to look at stuff like that as well. The Giants should have won this game last night, but it was a fun ending, especially that last 5 minutes of the game with what was going on in Washington. And shout out to Heinicke, man.
Yeah.
He had a pretty damn good game last night. I was thoroughly surprised by how entertaining that game was.
Also, not that I'm a drinker, but from what I understand from people, a very enjoyable beer. Anytime you pop open one of those green bottle Heinickes.
Why?
Number two.
Why? Well, no, answer my question. Why?
You know, it was there.
Actually, don't. Number two.
Question two.
All right. The Colts will take part in the very first in-season Hard Knocks. Will this be more interesting than the current format?
So I was traveling yesterday. I saw the announcement, or I heard the announcement. I didn't see it. Do you happen to know, and I don't know if anybody knows, will Liev Schreiber still be narrating during the season, or will they be getting a different narrator?
I didn't see that in the press release, but I would imagine they would have to go with him.
So for me, that makes a difference. Continuity and the fact that part of the underrated part of what makes Hard Knocks interesting to me is where Schreiber's narration takes you. Now, I'm a nerd about this stuff that's well-documented, and I'm sure I'm in the large minority there. But if they're keeping him for the season, which he's a busy dude, I'm not exactly sure they will. But if they do, I like the idea. I just hope that they continue. It's more entertainment. I hope they continue to do the traditional Hard Knocks, though, because let's be honest, what is the most, I don't want to say entertaining, but enthralling part of Hard Knocks throughout the years? Number one, it's the camaraderie in the training camp environment where we've seen the shenanigans and the meetings and all that. We'll still get some of that. But things are a lot more serious and businesslike during the regular season. The thing we are, for the most part, going to miss is we're going to miss that guy they call the Turk who goes around, he grabs the people out of their hotel rooms, coach wants to see you, bring your playbook, bring your iPad, and then you sit there and hear how the coaches cut the players. Now, we'll have player cuts during the year, of course, Jay, but not in the volume we did during training camp where they build up the narrative. You know, they show the families of these players mm-hmm. that are on the block, and then you feel for whoever gets cut, and you realize what a cutthroat business it is. That to me is the center of Hard Knocks, and I don't know how they're going to duplicate that during the season.
Well, I don't know if it's going to be an exact replication, but I think the in-season is going to be more entertaining just because there is a lot more drama going on. You look at a team like the Colts, they bring in Carson Wentz. Jim Irsay is a personality, sure, their owner, all in itself. You know, let's say the Colts, I don't know the length of it or how many games they're going to cover, but let's say they lose two games, they lose them close. Yeah. Hopefully we get a look inside that locker room after the game, see some drama going on with the team, what that is like. I actually think this is going to be much more entertaining as an in-season program than the preseason.
I will give you this, for everything I just brought up that they aren't going to be able to do as much during the regular season, what I'm not accounting for, and you kind of alluded to, is there are going to be things during the regular season that we haven't had an opportunity to see on the traditional Hard Knocks. I'm here for it. I'll watch it. I love the content. I love the backstory. There you go. I'd watch it every day. I will. Number three.
Question three.
Okie dokie. Give me your week two lock and your week two upset.
Okay, so just to recap the rules so people understand this, we're going by the betting lines here. So when you have a lock, fine, you have a lock. But upset needs to be a team that is not favored that is going to win the ball game. When it comes to my lock of the week, I won't say who I'm dangling around here. Obviously, the biggest lock of the week line-wise is Buccaneers-Falcons, but I think that's cheating. That's an obvious lock. I'm going to go with one that generally are favored by 4 points or less. I'm going to go with the Cardinals at home versus the Vikings. Cardinals favored by 3.5. That's 105 this Sunday. I think that's more of a fair thing. And I do have an upset in mind. But I don't know. I don't know if I want to say it right now. So I'll give you another upset. I'll give you Cincinnati going into Soldier Field and beating the Bears. And on top of that, I'll say Justin Fields starts Week 3.
Wow, yep. I like it.
Yep.
All right. So my lock is the Chiefs over the Ravens.
Uh huh.
That's my lock. My upset, because I want it to happen because of our, Survivor pool.
Yeah.
Give me the Texans over the Browns.
Oh, you wait, hold on. Did you take Cleveland?
No.
Oh, because I
took the Bucks. I'm out of that. I have the Bucks. Well, then, I know you took Cleveland.
Then what? Are you saying that because of what I took?
I'm trying. No, a lot of people took Cleveland.
Oh, well, if the Texans beat the Browns this week, Cleveland favored by 13 at home, yeah, that's going to knock me and quite a few people out of that pool.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm hoping for. Texans got a little luck in week one, looked halfway decent.
Yeah.
Hey, the Browns are a beatable team.
Yeah.
The Browns are ready for a letdown. Let's go Houston's. Not Texans, Houston's, I say.
You realize the Browns had their letdown last week when they blew the lead to the Chiefs.
Is it ever really a letdown against the Chiefs unless it's a Super Bowl and your team's the San Francisco 49ers?
I mean, you say tomato, tomato. I'll tell you what's never a letdown is any time I have gone up or other people have gone up to our good friends at Hoblet, especially during the extended Labor Day sales event going on right now, up to $7,100 off MSRP on new 2021 Ram 1500 Big Horns, up to $3,500 off MSRP on new 2021 Ram 2500, and, oh, by the way, 2.49% financing for 84 months. I like to do the math there. 12 months in a year. 84 divided by 12, what is that? That's 7 months. 7 years. 7 year loan at 2.49%. You cannot beat that. Hoblet has the biggest selection of Rams in all of California, over 400 of all sizes available. And if they don't have your truck in stock, it's really simple. They have something called an inbound sold list. Where do you hear this anywhere else? Where do you have any other dealership working this hard for you? You can secure your perfect truck with the inbound sold list. If it's not in stock, just reserve one of the ones they have on the way. By the way, it's not just Rams. So many different vehicles there, including 2021 Jeep Grand Cherokee L's. Third row seating. The first Jeep to have third row seating. It's really a big deal. That same 2.49% financing for 84 months. There's a reason why they are the J.D. Power Customer Service Award winners for excellence. Number one Ram truck dealer in California. Number three Ram truck dealer in the entire country. And dare I say the entire world. No hassle, no pressure, ever dealership, and the best prices, the best selection, period. We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice!
Coming up next.
1-800-920-1140. That is the phone number for our friend Dave Richard of CBS Sports. Get your fantasy football questions in. We will be back in just under 2 minutes.
The Carmichael Dave Show. Thoughtful, smart, engaging. None of these terms apply here, but he will read your snarky hate text at 916-339-1140.
Just talking to our good friend, Greg Papa, who will join us at 8:05. The voice of the Niners. I'm excited for that. Haven't talked to Greg yet this year, except for our little chat last week.
It'll be my first time talking to Greg.
What are you talking about?
I haven't talked to Greg at all this year.
That's right. I thought you meant at all. I was like, wait,
no, I've talked to him before. Several times.
are you going to be talking to Greg Papa today?
Would you like me to?
Of course I would. I just remember you saying you thought it might be a little intrusive on you with the three of us in different locations. I always love it when you're a part of it.
So I'm thinking because me and you have our private chat.
Yeah.
If you need to IFB me, we can use the chat as that, like if you want a follow-up question or something.
IFB, look at you. Using
it's more like an IFC because it's a chat.
A couple of notes before we get to Dave Richard of CBS Sports. We already talked to you about the Colts taking a part in that Hard Knocks. Now, Hard Knocks will be following. I assume it's going to be a different team each year. During the regular season, starting with the Indianapolis Colts this year, is it just me, Jay? Aren't the Colts, if you're going to kick this thing off, I feel like the Colts are one of the more boring teams to do it with.
Yeah. I mean, right? I think there's several teams that would be way better than the
like
Colts.
Dang it, I just kind of, did you hear who I almost said?
Did you say the Jets?
No, I didn't.
What were you going to say?
So who would be?
Can I tell you mine?
Who would be your number one?
Oh, dude, the 49ers. With the QB thing? Come on.
See, I was trying to not be biased. Of course, I'd love to see the Niners.
But it's not a bias. If I wasn't a Niners fan, to me, like, we played that Jimmy Garoppolo sound clip talking about, you know, the formation they ran with Trey Lance on the touchdown last week where he did not sound happy about it. I mean, come on. I want to see inside that locker room. I want to see the conversations Kyle Shanahan's having with both of these guys.
Do you not think the Jacksonville Jaguars would be fascinating?
Oh, gosh, yeah. With the Trevor Lawrence storyline. Urban Meyer just out there Urban Meyering.
Yes.
It would have been, if they would have held on to Gardner Minshew, I would have been all in.
Now, what about this? And then we'll get Dave Richard. What if, do you think it would still be, I'm torn here. What if they stayed with the offseason team during the season?
Ooh, so you I like could, that.
So you could see the players that you became attached to in the offseason function in a real-world environment behind the scenes as well.
Basically track their progress through the season, how everything is holding up. Oh, I'd be totally about that, and Dallas is a great team to do that with.
You would be embedded with the same team all year long. It's obviously a big commitment from a team, but you just go through it 1 year, and I know that's a lot on one team, but you do it 1 year, and then you've got 29 years before you have to do it again, or 30 years before you have to do it again. I don't know. I'd like that, too. Well, Jay gets Dave Richard. I want to tell you about the world's largest drum. Purdue, their band, I'm talking about the Boilermakers, they have the world's largest drum. And it is officially too big for Notre Dame Stadium. The Boilermakers take on the Fighting Irish this weekend. As a result, Purdue's All-American Band will play its first halftime performance without the giant bass drum for the first time since 1979. Notre Dame has restricted use of their main tunnel to their own football team and band, and that's the only entrance large enough for the drum. Visiting teams and bands have to use a separate tunnel that is much smaller. The drum is about 10 feet tall and runs on a carriage that has a combined weight of 565 pounds. Now, one more note here. Purdue has used the main tunnel to bring the drum out for their halftime show in previous matchups with the Fighting Irish. But Notre Dame Stadium underwent renovations in 2017, which included adding a visitor's tunnel. The Boilermakers last played in South Bend in 2012. This drum was built in 1921. It is the 100th anniversary of the drum. And the last time they played without the drum in 1979, because it went missing from storage, which sounds like a classic college prank, the night before they played Northwestern. It was later found behind an air conditioner in an area accessible only by ladder, which obviously means it was stolen and moved. The question is, how smart of a college kid do you have to be, and obviously group of kids, to move a 565-pound drum to a place only accessible by a ladder? At that point, you just have to tip your cap if you're Purdue. Texas has a similarly large bass drum, and you didn't think you were going to learn about all this today, I guarantee it, named Big Bertha. This is 8 feet tall, created around the same time for the University of Chicago after being inspired by a Purdue band performance there. It had a long-running rivalry with Purdue about who has the biggest drum in the world. Meanwhile, Missouri's Big Mo, which debuted in 2011, is 9 feet tall. Jay, this sounds like shenanigans from Notre Dame.
Sorry, I wasn't listening. I was trying to get Dave on the whole time.
No, that's fine. Is he just not picking up?
He's not picking up. Check your chat.
Yeah, no, I just did. I saw that he's not picking up, which is really strange for Dave.
Chat me back.
Everything is okay. I'm good with what you just said in the chat, by the way. But the point is that Notre Dame is keeping Purdue. Oh, nope. Dave Richard just texted me. He said he's ready to go.
Let me try him
more,
again.
Give it one more college try, if you will. I got to be honest. I don't have a dog in the fight between Purdue and Notre Dame this week. I don't have a dog in the fight at all. But I am a diehard Purdue Boilermaker fan this weekend. I hope they go in there with it. It's the 100th anniversary. And you couldn't, Notre Dame, you couldn't let Purdue just bring the drum out in the main entrance. You couldn't do that. That's petty. That's cheap. That's wrong. And I hope Purdue goes in and kicks your butt. I hope they do. I really do. And then they can sit there with their big old drum and just bang it all over your stadium. By the way, Notre Dame favored by 7 in this matchup. Number 12, Notre Dame.
I'm sorry. I literally just came in and heard bang it all over your stadium.
The Purdue drum. The 10-foot high drum.
Oh, okay.
I hope Purdue beats Notre Dame in Notre Dame this weekend. Notre Dame's favored by 7. I hope they go in there, they kick the holy you-know-what out of them, no pun intended, and then they bang that stinking drum all over the stadium. Anyways, we got Dave? Oh, he's working on Dave right now.
No, I haven't.
Oh, you do? I apologize.
Okay, that was thumbs up.
I wasn't looking. I'm sorry. I'm looking at the YouTube chat, which is a delay on you. Right now, Dave Richard joins us from CBS Sports. You can go to cbssports.com and just simply search Dave Richard. You'll find him everywhere. And speaking of, we'll get to fantasy football because we have a lot of questions. But speaking of college football real quick, last weekend, and I mentioned this on Monday's show, I noticed how much of an issue Miami was having with Appalachian State, and I actually tweeted out that I was going to make fun of you, David, for Miami struggles, except while your struggles were happening and eventual victory was happening, I was watching my Florida State Seminoles at Doak Campbell Stadium struggle, but beating Jacksonville State, and gee golly, we know how that turned out. So I'm glad I didn't talk garbage. Congratulations on your huge win over Appalachian State, Dave.
You know, it's almost like karma's a real thing, isn't it?
But I didn't talk garbage. I didn't do it for that
you
exact reason.
You thought about it.
I did.
I did.
Well, now your team has turned their program around with a huge win over Appalachian State, unlike my team, which is now 0-2. So you got to feel good about your Hurricanes this week.
You know, I really don't feel good about the Hurricanes, and I don't know where they're headed. But what the hell?
USC, Miami, Texas, Florida State. These really aren't our college football teams. It's not the way it was, Dave.
No, it's not. And I think what's happening is that our programs were hardworking, honest programs that followed the letter of the law of the NCAA. And now we're dealing with all these other programs that are just coming up with ways to skirt the rules. And frankly, I'm shaking my finger at them saying they are just doing the wrong thing. But somehow it's working out for them where they're making millions and millions of dollars on the backs of these college athletes, while schools like Miami and Florida State are trying to make them better educated scholars, Dave. We are trying to turn – this is the future of our country, playing offensive line and kicker for our schools.
You know, Florida State has a nice film school and legal department. I don't know. Known for our education, Dave. I say that as my parents are grads. Dave, educate me on educate me on Saquon Barkley. At one point, I think I'm going to get this wrong, but at one point last night, I was not able to watch the entire game, and I was looking on my phone, and I think it was like Saquon had like 9 rushes for 41 yards, and his long was 41 yards.
41 yards, right?
What do we do with Saquon Barkley?
I think you'll hold on to him if you drafted him, and I'm kind of optimistic that he'll break out next week against the Falcons, Dave. We know that Atlanta's defense, maybe directly up the middle of the defense, is pretty good. There's defensive tackles and linebackers that are all right, but on the edges, they're weak. And I would imagine that Saquon Barkley is just continuing to get more comfortable. You saw it last night where he's going to be able to start bouncing outside and picking up more chunks of yardage. I like his chances to do that. And the little extra rest will help. He's come out of these first two games unscathed. I am optimistic that the best is yet to come for Saquon Barkley. And so here's the plan. If you don't have Saquon Barkley, now is the time to start laying seeds to whoever has Saquon in your league to try and get him like as if he was taken in the 4th or 5th round, not like he was taken in the 1st and 2nd round. Someone who started him the first 2 weeks, they're ready to let go of Saquon Barkley from their fantasy teams. And you can reap the rewards by offering, I don't know, maybe Julio Jones and another running back maybe you picked up Elijah Mitchell, and you can trade Elijah Mitchell, maybe not even with Julio, maybe somebody worse than Julio. But let's get through the weekend and see how Mitchell does with the Niners. This is the time to buy low on Saquon.
Okay, so it's a perfect follow-up. I never like asking questions and robbing the listeners by asking questions about my own team. I never, ever, ever do that, but I'll make an exception here. Last night, I was offered Josh Jacobs straight up for Saquon Barkley, and I'm inclined to take the deal, and you're talking me out of it, friend.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, so the thing that I'm worried about with Jacobs is that unlike Saquon Barkley, he's hurt. And unlike Saquon Barkley, he's going to split reps all year. You saw it in week one against the Ravens. We saw basically five quarters of it where he's the running downs guy. Kenyon Drake is the passing downs guy. And what's going to happen when Jacobs is already battling this toe injury? They're going to start to pull him off of some of those running downs and give it to Kenyon Drake. If anything, now is the time to trade for Kenyon Drake. Maybe the guy in your league has Saquon Barkley and Kenyon Drake on the roster. I think that's the move to make. I don't want Josh Jacobs on my fantasy team. If I've got Josh Jacobs on my fantasy team, I want to move him as soon as he has a good game. And he just had one. He scored two touchdowns. So you can go to people in your league and say, hey, look, here's a guy that just scored 15 fantasy points. He plays running back. I'll give him to you. Let's make a deal. And then you try and make a fair deal out of it if you've got Jacobs. But, man, I am worried sick about him being good rest of season.
The fantasy football guru from CBS Sports, Dave Richard, joining us this morning. Dave, a lot of disappointed fantasy owners who had Titans players last week, a down game for Ryan Tannehill, AJ Brown, Julio Jones. Do you think this is going to be a trend with new offensive coordinator Todd Downing, or do you think the Titans offense bounces back this week?
You know, I think it would be very wise for Downing to just go back to basics against Seattle and lean on that ground game that the Titans have built. My guess is that the Cardinals took one look at Tennessee and said, we don't care if you acquired Julio Jones. We're not going to play you any differently than how we would have played you last year. And that might have been a little bit jarring to the Titans. But really what it came down to, Jay, was that the offensive line for Tennessee did not do its job. They did not give Ryan Tannehill time to make a decision on where to go with the football. And it led to all kinds of trouble in the first half. By the second half, it started to look a little bit better. And I would imagine against Seattle, they'll have their act together and it'll be a more competitive game. But really, that was the issue in Tennessee was, number one, defenses did not change the way that they played them, even though they got Julio. And number two, the pass rush was too much. And it was Arizona's pass rush. It was Chandler Jones, who's great. But outside of Chandler Jones, and I mean, I don't mean to disparage J.J. Watt, but J.J. Watt now is not the same as J.J. Watt 3 years ago. I think that it's a little surprising that they were as effective against Tennessee as they were.
Dave Richard with us. Let me take care of a couple of quick user questions, listener questions, and we'll flip it over to Jay Mars. Flex, Melvin Gordon, James Robinson, Kareem Hunt.
Gordon is going to be my favorite of the three. I like the upside against Jacksonville, but I actually like all three of those running backs this week. Hunt's an easy one to start against Houston. And James Robinson really let fantasy managers down last week, but the Jaguars didn't use him. They really they decided to try throwing against Houston, and then they fell behind. They were down like 20 points at the half. They had to throw in the second half. I think they go back to basics with Robinson and I guess a little bit of Carlos Hyde too. Robinson looked good on the limited snaps that he had. He had three runs of 6-plus yards, looked good on a couple of receptions. Use that guy. He's good, and that'll shorten the game just a little bit. Take some pressure off of your rookie QB. I think it'll end up working out fine. You've got another day or so to try and trade for James Robinson on the cheap.
One more here real quick. And by the way, you can call it 1-800-920-1140 on our YouTube chat. Obviously, we'll pick up your questions. And 916-339-1140 on the text if you have questions for CBS Sports. Is Dave Richard, a half PPR league. Why, by the way? Why
half PPR?
Yeah, it's just so stupid. Half PPR
what's
league.
What's wrong with that? Wait a minute. What's wrong with half
what's
PPR?
What's right with it?
Just make it a PPR. Why do the half?
Because I bet there's some people in the league that don't want to reward a full point for a catch, because in the NFL now, like a third of the receptions are short screens, short passes. Yeah. When a guy catches a screen, a bubble screen for 2 or 3 yards, that's a fantasy point. That's a whole point for a useless play.
Well, I mean,
so why give out that whole point when you can give out a half a point? I mean, that's what I think. I don't mind half PPR. I think that makes it a little better.
You're talking to a guy whose favorite league still and has for the last 20 years gives 2 points per catch for tight ends.
Yeah. Right. Hopefully you're taking advantage of that.
Yeah, hopefully you drafted Travis Kelce or George Kittle with your first pick.
Right.
Travis Kelce was the number 7 overall pick in that league to Carmichael Dave. So, yes. Jamar,
there you go.
Jamar Chase, Deebo Samuel, or Devontae Smith in a half PPR league.
Oh, I love all those guys, too. Debo's going to be at the bottom of the list. I'm probably going to lean toward Chase against Chicago. The Bears secondary couldn't keep track of Cooper Kupp and Van Jefferson last week. I imagine they'll have a hard time with Chase this week.
CBS Sports, Dave Richard joining us. Dave, Austin Eckler is a guy that got a lot of attention last week. You know, the passing game is a big part of why fantasy owners like to pick him up. I don't think he was targeted at all last week. Again, is that going to be a trend moving forward?
We saw this in week one last year where he was barely used in the passing game, and then they had to pivot from Tyrod Taylor to Justin Herbert, and all of a sudden the catches started to come. I don't think it's going to be a trend to the point where he's only going to be, you know, 2 or 3 targets a week. I think he'll eventually start to get going a little bit more. My guess is that had a little bit to do with how Washington played the Chargers, because we saw a lot of targets for Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, and that's something that's a little bit different than what we saw. I mean, look, maybe not for Keenan Allen. We see him get targets every year, but Mike Williams getting double-digit targets, that's different. And Jared Cook getting a lot of targets, that's a little bit different too. Is it a sign that the offense in L.A. is going to be more about Justin Herbert and be a quarterback-centric offense instead of trying to be balanced? Yeah, maybe a little bit of that, but I still think we've got a chance to see 70-plus catches for Eckler in his remaining 16 games. Fingers crossed that he plays 16 games.
In one league I was in, and this is one of those where you get 100 fake dollars to do your waiver claims for the entire year, someone bid $7,100 and or $71 and won for Elijah Mitchell, and it turns out somebody else in the league thought they had it wrapped up with a $53 bid. Do you think Mitchell is going to eventually be worth the mass grab for him, or is Trey Sermon going to have something to say about that?
It's not just Trey Sermon. It's Jamichael Hasty, and the one who's really going to have something to say about it is going to be Kyle Shanahan, who really prefers to use multiple running backs no matter the situation. And we didn't really see it play out quite as much last week. It was a lot of Elijah Mitchell after Raheem Mostert went down. But this is where Deebo Samuel comes into play, too. His little short passes, those dink-and-dunk throws from Garoppolo, that was an extension of the run game for San Francisco. They were afraid that the run game was not going to hold up. And then Mitchell got like 35% of his yards and his touchdown on one play. He had several other very nice runs. I don't think he's worth the $71 grab. What we think is, and this is something that my colleagues and I have kind of come up with over the years, is if you spend 20% of your budget and you get a guy who helps you win 2 or 3 games, it's completely worth it.
Sure.
But if you're going to spend 70 to 1, Dave, he went for 100% of budget in some leagues.
Oh, my God.
If you're spending that much on Elijah Mitchell, knowing what kind of a headache the running backs are in San Francisco, you're just asking to lose your league. So I don't even mind the 50% bid on Mitchell, because he's got a chance. It might not be 2 games. It might be 6 or 7 games for him where he's a viable starter in fantasy. And this week I think you could use him if you wanted to. I think he's kind of a bust candidate personally, but I'm not going to tell people to not use Elijah Mitchell. But I think the pivot was go get Jamichael Hasty for like 5% of your budget. Because if they're going to use multiple running backs and Trey Sermon might still be in the doghouse, it sounds like he's not going to be. It sounds like he's going to play. But Hasty's going to play too. He had a touchdown last week, and he isn't a terrible player, and the 49ers like him. This isn't going to become the Elijah Mitchell show. If it does, it's completely out of line with the entire lineage of Kyle Shanahan's play calling going all the way back to 2013.
So do me a favor then, rank these three, because these were three of the, if not the three, biggest pickups over the last week plus. And rank them in the sense of your first one, you're ranking them as far as players you think will consistently contribute to your fantasy team for the remainder of the season. We'll give you Tyson Williams, Elijah Mitchell, and Van Jefferson.
I don't know if any of them are going to contribute for the rest of the season, but I do think that Elijah Mitchell has the best chance to help you contribute now. and maybe for the next month and a half to 2 months, maybe longer. I mean, who can say for sure? We know Mostert's not coming back. That does help the outlook for Elijah Mitchell. I think Tyson Williams is right behind him, and Van Jefferson had one nice play against the Bears. I would be surprised if he mattered in any more than three games the rest of the year.
But to you, and last question, Dave, to you, based on Van Jefferson, and obviously you're always looking for openings here. You mentioned Saquon Barkley earlier and perhaps a buy low category here. Do you see a potential for Robert Woods owners panicking here a little bit? And is that a weakness you'd try to expose this week?
If he doesn't have a good game this week against Indianapolis, I would go for it. But I would have a hard time believing that he's going to have a bad game against Indianapolis when that whole defense really underwhelmed against Seattle. And they've got some injuries in their secondary that are going to get paid attention to by Matthew Stafford. And I think this Rams offense is just beginning to click. It might be one of those things where it'll be one or two pass catchers in L.A. that end up doing the job for fantasy managers, and then one or two other guys end up not being that guy. And Woods was – I mean, he scored last week. That's nice. But he didn't have, you know, six catches, 85 yards, and a touchdown. He didn't do that. But I think he could this week. So if he's bad this week, you make the move before week three to acquire Robert Woods.
Apparently, Dave Richard is coming to us live from an Amazon warehouse, which is entertaining itself.
He's at O'Hare. No.
He's what?
He's at O'Hare Airport.
Oh. Okay, so live from Chicago. I'm in Palm Springs. You're in Chicago. Tell everybody.
Right, we're not where we're supposed to be, neither of us.
No, we are not. Where can people see, hear, and read your pretty face?
So I don't know why you'd read my face. I don't think you can. Can you read wrinkles
and expression?
And fat? Because that's what you. Well, okay, you can read my expression. I got an expression for you, Dave.
I'll bet you do.
No, look, we've got Fantasy Football Today live, 9 a.m. Pacific time. We're going to go over our goodbyes and bad byes for DFS. And then Sunday at 7 a.m. your time, Fantasy Football Today to help you get ready for week two. Tell you who to start and sit. What the hell was that? I think we're gonna save you, and then we're gonna save everybody from making mistakes with their fantasy lineups in week number two.
That's what Dave Richard does. He helps you win money. He saves you from making mistakes. And,
okay,
hold on real quick.
I'm sorry. When Dave said, "What the hell was that?" I had turned off my mic, but I didn't turn off the feed from me to Dave, so I just hacked up a lung. And Dave got that. That was me.
I thought. You know what? I thought Dave was referring to, because he was promoting one of his things. I thought when he said, "What the hell was that?" He was talking about like something that happened last week. Like, what the hell was that?
That's me with a big chunk of phlegm.
Did everybody hear that?
No, just you.
I didn't hear anything,
dude. Dave Richard exclusive.
That was a mighty cough, Jay. That was unbelievable.
Jay, thank you. Yes. Thank you for stepping in front of the bus. That was very honest of you. Dave, thank you for providing, once again, professional analysis on the most professional radio show in the world. We appreciate your time, and we'll talk to you next Friday at 7:35.
You guys are the best. I'll talk to you next week.
All right, buddy. Thank you. That is CBS Sports' Dave Richard. And apparently Jay's got a coughing issue, so we will take a quick break.
Jeez. That was nice. Coming up next.
Get it all out of the way now, because Greg Papa, the voice of the 49ers, joins us in just 5 minutes. We're back right after this.